As the Lord may be pleased to help us, we will commence our service this afternoon by reading hymn number 938. Hymn number 938. When thou, my righteous judge, shalt come to take thy ransomed people home, shall I among them stand? Shall such a worthless worm as I, who sometimes am afraid to die, be found at thy right hand? I love to meet among them now, before thy gracious feet to bow, though vilest of them all. But can I bear the piercing thought? What if my name should be left out, when thou for them shalt call? Prevent it by thy grace. Be thou, dear Lord, my hiding place, in this the accepted day. Thy pardoning voice, O, let me hear, to still my unbelieving fear, nor let me fall, I pray. Let me among thy saints be found, whene'er the archangel's trump shall sound, to see thy smiling face. Then loudest of the crowd I'll sing, while heaven's resounding mansions ring with shouts of sovereign grace. As the Lord may be pleased to help us, we will read from two portions of God's holy word, from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 24, and then the first five verses of the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 12. The Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 24. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the building of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily, I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming, and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumours of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences, and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. But I have told you before, wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender, and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Watch, therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We'll now turn to the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 12, and reading the first, five verses, but I will read the first nine verses, or ten verses, sorry. The first ten verses of chapter 12 in the Gospel according to Luke. In the meantime, when they were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, Beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you, whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? Even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. May the Lord add his blessing upon the reading of his holy word, and may he help and teach us to pray. O thou most holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, O thou ever gracious, ever merciful, and long-suffering Lord God, do, Lord, help us to approach unto thee, Lord, for a few moments in prayer. Do, Lord, grant unto us a true spirit of prayer, that, Lord, our prayers might not just be words, but that they might be the very feelings of our heart, and that our words, our feelings of our heart might go with the words that we say. And, oh, Lord, do then come, and do, Lord, draw near unto us, Lord, here this afternoon. Though we meet sadly, Lord, in this remote way, but Lord, we thank thee that there are the means, Lord, that we are able still to meet together, Lord, even in this remote way, as a company of poor sinners, Lord, meeting to worship thee in thy sight. And, O Lord, do come. And do, Lord, by thy Spirit, pour out, Lord, thy Spirit abundantly. Lord, make our homes a Bethel to us, Lord. Though we are not able, O Lord, to meet in thy house. And, Lord, it does sadden us, Lord, that we cannot meet there, and that we have to meet in these unusual ways. But, Lord, we are thankful that thou hast proved, Lord, that thy Spirit and thy word is not restricted to means nor mode. And, Lord, thy word is not bound. And, O Lord, do then come and pour out, Lord, thy Spirit into the hearts of the hearers, Lord. O do, Lord, grant that true opening, Lord, of their hearts, that softening of their hearts, that preparation of their hearts, Lord, to receive thy word, Lord, with power from thee. Lord, here even this afternoon, Lord, that thy word might be life and power to our souls. O Lord, we do beg of thee. O Lord, thou knowest that there are those things, Lord, those things, Lord, that keep us, as it were, aware that we are but mortal, sinful men. And Lord, even as we had to prove this morning, Lord, that technology in that way, Lord, fails us. But Lord, we thank thee that thou art that one that faileth not, that does not ever fail thy people. And O Lord, we trust, we had to prove it, Lord, as we trust that thou didst help us through this morning. And O Lord, even though we had that that set us about, but Lord, thou knowest. And O Lord, we thank thee that thou dost make up. O Lord, do then come and grant us thy felt spirit once again. Do pour in, Lord, to this weak and leaky and earthen vessel. For Lord, we are an empty vessel, and we need thee, Lord, by thy power and by thy spirit to pour into us, Lord, that we might be able to pour out. But Lord, that thy spirit might overflow, Lord. And Lord, that there might be a portion, Lord, for each one. O Lord, that none may be sent empty away. But Lord, help us then to be found refreshed, Lord, in our soul this day. Oh Lord, if it is needed, Lord, that awakening in our soul and heart this day. Oh Lord, thou knowest. And thou knowest that word that thou we believe has laid upon us to bring here this afternoon. Oh Lord, do, Lord, grant us every word to speak. For Lord, we feel so empty ourselves, but we need thee to come and to open thy word up to us. And oh Lord, do, Lord, help the people to pray the very word out of us. Oh Lord, we beg, and do, Lord, help each one. Lord, those that may feel, Lord, at this time such a time of loneliness, Lord, as they may be in their homes alone, but Lord, thou alone can draw near. And do, Lord, as we believe, we pray this morning, be unto them that guest in their home, Lord. Grant them a visit from thee that will make amends for all. And, oh Lord, though they may feel lonely, but Lord, if thou dost grant them a visit, oh Lord, and oh, to be found with thee, oh Lord, do grant us each then, even this Lord's Day afternoon, a visit from thee in our homes as we seek to worship thee. And Lord, help us to worship thee in spirit and in truth. Lord, leave us not to worship thee in vain. But Lord, and that, Lord, that thy word not, might not return unto thee void, but that it might accomplish that whereto it is sent. And O Lord, send thy word home with power. Pour it out, Lord, and do into the hearts of the hearers. O Lord, break up those hard hearts. Soften them, Lord, even this day. Unstop the deaf ears and open the blind eyes. O Lord, do grant thy quickening power, thy quickening power of the Spirit, Lord. And O Lord, do prepare us each and keep us, Lord, ever watching, for we know not what a day nor an hour may bring forth. And O Lord, as we have read all those solemn things regarding thy second coming, and O Lord, we know not when it is. Only the Heavenly Father. And O Lord, do then come and do be with each one. Remember the young and the rising generation. Lord, work mightily within them. Lord, grant them that desire after thee and thy word, Lord, for we know, that they will not have it in and of themselves, It is not inherited, or they don't possess it by nature. But Lord, do put it within. Oh, draw them unto thee, Lord. Leave them not to be left to sin, Lord, as we have. But Lord, that they might not have those regrets in years to come. And oh Lord, soften their young hearts. Oh Lord, we beg, for thou alone can do it. Lord, thou knowest the old adversary is very busy hardening hearts. And especially, Lord, in this day and generation, and especially with the young, with all that they now have, Lord, in front of them, even that we ourselves, Lord, though we are still, as it were, relatively young, but Lord, we did not have those things to deal with. And oh Lord, there is so much, Lord, now at their fingertips, so many temptations, so much, Lord, before them, such filth and corruption is spoken about, Lord, openly. Oh Lord, and do, Lord, oh, may we be found like dear Lot, who was vexed with the conversation of the wicked. And oh Lord, help us to be vexed by it. Oh Lord, leave us not to become hardened to it. For Lord, thou knowest, even in the workplace, Lord, we can become hardened to sin. And we hear those things over and over and over again. And oh Lord, do they lose their effect? Lord, as we, or does it prick us in the, does it pain us, Lord, to hear it? Lord, thou knowest. And oh Lord, do then be with us. Be with us as we go in and out among the world, Lord. Help us to be, Lord, those shining lights in the world. But Lord, thou knowest how short we come. And oh Lord, thou knowest how very short we come. And oh Lord, we hide our lights under a bushel through fear of man. And oh Lord, thou knowest. Oh, how little we own and confess thee openly in the world. Because Lord, so often we are found hiding behind that which we say, well, it is in our outward walk. But Lord, oh, how short we come still. And oh Lord, help us then in this day and generation in which we live. Oh Lord, to be found redeeming the time, for the days are evil, and that we might be found, Lord, oh, putting on that whole armour of God. Oh Lord, for we need it. The old adversary is very busy. He is very strong. He is a mighty, mighty foe to thy people. He hates thee, Lord. He hates thy cause. He hates thy word. He hates thy people. And oh Lord, but Lord, thou art the almighty God. He is a chained foe. He is a defeated foe. He has nothing to boast of. And oh Lord, do, Lord, then subdue him. For Lord, thou knowest how he comes in like a flood and seeks to tread thy word and thy love underfoot. And oh Lord, do drive him away from us, Lord. Keep him from us. Even this afternoon, Lord, drive him away. Thou knowest, Lord, how he affects each one, both preacher and hearer alike. Lord, do drive him away from us, Lord. Keep him from the door. And, oh, Lord, as we often feel to have to pray, Lord, regarding the houses of God, that he might not be, Lord, like that raven upon the doorstep to steal away the word. Leave him not, Lord, to steal the word away from thy people. But, Lord, oh, help us to hold fast to that which we have. Let no man take thy crown, no devil. Oh Lord, we do beg, do be with us each, and remember and be of the dear cause, Lord, at the dicker. Be with them and help them. Bless thy word among them, Lord, we beg. And Lord, do be with them still. And oh, go on before them, build them up still. Grant, Lord, those seals to our their dear pastor's ministry, those souls to his higher still. Lord, bless his labours among them. Be with him, Lord, unto him all that he feels to need. And, oh, Lord, do grant him every word to speak. Help them, Lord, to pray him into the pulpit and to hold up his arms in prayer. And oh Lord, do go before him still and do help him and his dear one also, and each one, Lord, be with them. Do be of the dear deacons, help them in all that they do. And oh Lord, each one, each church member, each member of the congregation, Lord, bind them together. And oh Lord, do be with them. And oh Lord, it saddens us that we are not able to meet with them physically. But Lord, help our hearts to be knit together. Oh Lord, we beg, though we are remote from one another. And oh Lord, do be with them. Remember the aged, Lord, help them, draw near unto them. Those that may be in the homes, Lord, be with them. Be with them there, draw near unto them there in their rooms. And, oh Lord, comfort them, support them. The widows and the widowers, Lord, be unto them. Lord, that husband, that father, that comforter to them. And, oh Lord, oh, do draw near unto them, Lord, in those lonely times. Those times, Lord, when they may feel that loss greatly, but Lord, draw near and make up for all, we do beg. And Lord, remember those in the midst of life, those bearing the heat and the burden of the day. Lord, those that may feel, as it were, so troubled at this time with all that is upon us, those that may be in need, we know not. And Lord, those that may feel as though they have too much, as it were, to bear. But Lord, do help them and do draw near unto them. Lord, use this, Lord, this virus that's in this land now and throughout the world. Lord, do use it for the good of souls. Oh, Lord, that it might cause many, oh, to be brought out of nature's darkness, Lord, into that everlasting light, that they might be made to see, like that dying thief, their need, Lord, of a Saviour. And, oh, Lord, that it might be used, Lord, even in this land, for the building up of Zion, for the filling of the empty pews with those hungering and thirsting souls, that we might see once again the houses of God filled. And, oh, Lord, for thou knowest that all things are in thy control. And, oh, Lord, that thou wilt not allow the devil to have the preeminence. Lord, have mercy then. And do, Lord, be with us. Remember the Queen and all those in authority. Lord, help them. Draw near. Lord, thou knowest it saddened us to see that she did not make any mention of thy name, Lord, in her speech on the past day. And we thank thee, Lord, for that. Oh, great victory, Lord, over in victory in Europe, oh, 75 years ago. And, oh, Lord, but what greater victory, Lord, there is and was as thou did when thou didst lay down thy life, that we tried, as it were, to speak from this morning upon that cross. Oh, thou didst, make that victory there over death, sin, death, and hell. And oh Lord, oh do them work mightily within our Queen and her husband, Lord. Oh, they have never dying souls, help us to pray for them. And oh Lord, that thou mightest work in that royal household and in our Prime Minister, Lord, in all that he has walked through, that it might be used for his good. We do beg. Do then, Lord, be with us as we come down to that hour. Be with each one of thy servants, Lord, as they stand upon the walls of Zion once again, and may yet again tonight, Lord, be with them. Grant them every word to speak, Lord, and be unto them mouth, matter, and wisdom. Do them make up in giving, where we have no doubt failed in our asking. And do pardon, Lord, anything we may have spoken amiss, for thy great and holy name's sake. Amen. Your pastor has asked me to give out the announcements for the coming week, as they are different, as I understand, to what you may have known of before. So the announcements for the coming week, God willing, are that next Lord's Day, God willing, your pastor will preach both morning and afternoon, and not the ministers engaged, owing to the current circumstances in which we find ourselves and and different engagements. And then on Thursday evening, your pastor is expected to preach. We'll continue by singing by reading hymn number 666. Hymn number 666. With great and awful power, Jesus the Judge shall come to bid his foes depart and take his children home. How will the wicked quake and fear when they before him must appear? He comes the world to judge, nor will he take a bribe. His wrath none can escape but his beloved bride. Millions will unto mountains call to hide them and upon them fall. Poor soul, what is thy hope? On what dost thou depend? Art thou a stranger still to Christ, the sinner's friend? Soon thou must leave thy all below, and then, oh then, what wilt thou do? Christians, lift up your heads. Say, what has Jesus done? His matchless grace to you the Saviour has made known. Yes, you shall all his glory see, and from the second death be free. As the Lord may be pleased to help me, feeling greatly my need of the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I would draw your attention to the words that you will find in the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 24, and reading for our text, verse 44. The Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 24, and reading for our text, verse 44. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. I will read those three verses, verses 42 to 44. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. These words in that first clause of verse 44 seemed to drop in after the word that I spoke from this morning. Yesterday morning, they seemed to come, and they would not leave me, and I have trembled at the thought of having to come with this word, feeling that it is of such a great thing to speak from, but dear friends, it is a great thing. But we have a great thing to deal with. We have that righteous judge that shall come, and we have our never dying souls that here on this earth, really, when we consider them, they are the most important thing. The life or the health of our never dying soul. For we each have a never dying soul, whether we are young or whether we are old, whether we are middle aged, whether we be a boy or a girl or a man or a woman, we each have a never dying soul. A soul that will leave this body, but it will never die. Never. It will never die, dear friends. But, dear friends, as we spoke of this morning, of those two thieves, and those who may not have been with us this morning, I will read the text we spoke from. And here we spoke then of the two thieves upon the cross. One, as we said this morning, I don't wish to repeat it, but there was one there who saw and was beside the Lord Jesus himself. He heard his prayer unto his Father that they might be forgiven, those that were rearing him up upon the cross, those that were railing upon him, which were the two thieves that we read of in Matthew's Gospel, that the two of them railed against him. But yet those two, there was the one who was there found in judgment. It had no effect upon him to see the dear Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And as we spoke from this morning, that verse in verse 41 in Luke chapter 23, "And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss." And there was that one there upon the cross who railed upon him and did not even take, as it were, the rebuke of his fellow criminal when he said, "Dost thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation?" But yet it had no effect upon him to see the Saviour expire his breath upon the cross. And this man, as the thief there said and owned and confessed, that this man hath done nothing amiss, but yet he was bearing upon him the curse that was due for his people's sins. But yet it meant nothing to him. But there was the two, judgment and mercy, the elect and the non-elect, the lost and the saved were shown there. And what mercy was shown to that the dying thief that was found there? He only moments ago had been doing the same and railing upon the Lord Jesus himself. But then the Lord prepared his heart, the Lord worked in his heart, and the Lord caused that change. He brought it about, the dying thief, didn't he? And as I said this morning, there was no difference between those two thieves. They were two sinners, to the outward appearance, two sinners, two that had committed, as we understand it, the same crime, and may have been fellows in that same crime. But they were to be found there with the Lord Jesus that day to show that there will be those that are lost and those that are saved, and to show that the Lord's mercy even there upon the cross to that dying thief, that those that looked upon it saw the dying thief, they heard the Lord Jesus speak to the dying thief and to say to him, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." But here the Lord Jesus is then is set before us as that judge who will return to judge the earth. But dear friends, when we viewed him this morning, he was there. He was made obedient unto death. even the death of the cross and all that he endured there, all that he took upon him, the wounds and the bruises and the putrefying sores and all that was laid upon him. His fellow sinners might live, but his poor body was marred for sin. And as we spoke of this morning, and I didn't feel I came into it deep enough, but there was the crown of thorns that pierced his dear temples, those dear temples that sweat, as it were, great blood, drops of blood for his people. All that he endured there in the Garden of Gethsemane for his people. And then when we consider, as he hung upon that cross, and as we spoke of this morning, the bruises upon his dear face, as the soldiers struck him upon his face, oh, that face that was so beautiful, but yet so marred by our sins. And then we consider him there when they nailed those nails into his hands and those nails into his dear feet. Those hands that had done such good, had never done anything wrong, had never done any sin, performed those wonderful miracles, healed the sick. But yet, oh, the nails that drove it into his hands, oh, they were the sins of his people. And is it your concern and is it my concern that those nails were our sins in those nails? Because if we are one of these that are found right at last when he shall come again, oh, as the hymn writer said, the soldiers pierced his side, it's true, but we have pierced him through and through. And do we know anything of it? Do we know anything of it savingly? Does it cause us to mourn? Does it cause us grief within? And then when we consider that even then, when the dear Saviour had expired, those soldiers so cruelly struck, as it were, that spear into his side. And when you consider the spear into his side, oh, next to the dear Lord Jesus' own heart, that heart that was God and man, that heart that wept over Jerusalem, that heart that wept over the sins of his people, that heart that was so burdened and bowed down in the Garden of Gethsemane, and that heart that wept at the grave of Lazarus. But the soldiers, they pierced his side. But we can cast no stones at the soldiers, can we? No, because would we have been any better? And then we think of his dear feet, those feet that were so cruelly nailed into the cross and that bore such weight of his body as well as his hands. But yet those dear feet that walk this earth, those dear perfect feet, perfect hands and a perfect body that walked this earth, went about doing good. But oh, is it of a concern to you and to me, this man that we spoke of this morning that have done nothing amiss, did he take it upon him for us? Was it for my sins? Is that your desire this afternoon? Oh, and you may have said when I read this verse, well, this is too cutting for me. I want to know something of assurance and comfort this afternoon. But dear friends, I've been sent with this word. Therefore, be ye also ready. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Dear friends, this is a very solemn word of warning. And this is the words from the dear Saviour's own lips. This is very solemn. Dear friends, and I come with a word of warning. It is a word of warning. And I must be faithful to it to warn you. Because if I do not warn, dear friends, your blood is upon me. But, dear friends, how stands the case, my soul, with thee? It's personal, with thee. How does it stand? You can answer that before an holy and heart-searching God, because the Lord, as I have said before, the Lord looked into the very depths of your hearts. Oh, you might think there's a little things that are hidden from his view. Nothing's hidden from his view. the very depths of your hearts are seen by the Lord. That's a solemn consideration, isn't it? But dear friends, it's a solemn warning. And I must come with it as a warning, because the Lord will come. There will be that time when the Lord comes, and there will be those comings. Firstly, the Lord came, what we spoke of this morning. He came, didn't he, into this world. He came and was sent by his dear Father in love and mercy to poor, lost and ruined sinners, that they might live. He saw that man was sinful. He saw that man couldn't keep himself. He saw that man couldn't keep the holy law. But then in love and mercy to poor, lost and ruined sinners, he sent his own dear Son, his sinless, spotless, pure Son, his only begotten Son, into the world. Not for, as it were, he didn't come, did he, as a prince or a king? No, he came, he humbled himself. He humbled himself and came into the world and took upon him, as we read, the form of a servant. He didn't come as somebody of elevated position. And then we see the Jews despising him, and they say to him, they say of him, isn't this Joseph the carpenter's son? As though, oh, you know, this was just this lowly man, a carpenter's son. He isn't a prince or a king. No, he wasn't meant to be. Because he came to dwell with sinners. And as I said this morning, he came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Repentance, dear friend. Do you know anything, and do we know anything of the spirit of repentance? Is it our concern that we might be given it, because we don't have it by nature, do we? And if the Lord has granted you a spirit of repentance, dear child of God, you may be found mourning over your sins, but it's the spirit of repentance if it is so. And therefore, the Lord uses it. Therefore be ye also ready. Here we see it is a word of warning, and it's a solemn word. It's a personal word. Be ye. It doesn't say here, therefore the church of God are to be ready, or therefore all men are to be ready. No, it's personal. And may it be made personal to you this afternoon. Be ye, whoever you are, be ye. And I speak, as it were, to all of you. For we, it is a word of warning to you all. Be ye also ready. Because what did we read of? Who are we to fear? Oh, we often find ourselves so wrapped up in this world, don't we? So tied down to the world, so fearful of man, so fearful of what we must be doing and what we have to do. But yet, who are we to fear it? We were told, weren't we, in the reading, the second reading in Luke chapter 23, or not 20, Luke chapter 12, sorry. What did the Lord say there? I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him. That's the Lord God, which after he hath killed, hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Dear friends, there's two roads. And no doubt you've heard this said many times, but may it be. Oh, to your soul, that warning, there's two roads. There's a broad road and the straight and narrow way, and few there be that find the straight and narrow way. But while we told straight is the gate and narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. And what are we told? Strive to enter in at the straight gate. Those that strive to enter in are those who are found here in this word, ready They are made ready. They are made concerned. And how are they made concerned? Because they are brought into those times of soul trouble. They are brought into those times of and tribulation. And often the Lord uses those times of tribulation, even in those things of providence, to bring about that concern regarding grace. It is often that the Lord brings his people that way. But here the Lord has said, watch therefore. Are we found a watchful people? Are you and am I found watchful? Are we found there upon our watchtower, looking out for the approaching? It says here, the Lord will come. I believe it says in another of the Gospels, or in one of the books of Paul, he cometh as a thief in the night. And we don't know when a thief in the night's coming, do we? He doesn't tell us. He will come upon us unawares, and that's how the Lord will come. Be not deceived, dear friends. The Lord will come when we think not. And that's why then this word should be even more of a warning to us. It's an hour when we think not. And as it says here regarding the thief, watching for the thief, if that man knew when the thief was coming, he would have watched and he would have been prepared for the thief to come. But dear friends, are we found watching? Watching unto the end. For we each one of us, we have that never-ending eternity before us. When we take our last breath, that will be our last breath of life here, this side of the grave. But then after death, there will be the never-ending eternity. There will be that forever. Our soul will continue to live. It will not die. Oh, those that may be deceived into thinking, well, once my soul dies, then when my body dies, my soul will come to an end, or I will endure punishment for a time. We're not the Catholics that believe in purgatory either, and that time of making right with the Lord. No. How the tree falleth, how the tree falleth is how it shall be. It's very solemn, but where do we stand? And as we spoke this morning of the thief, those thieves on the cross, there was Jesus there, the Saviour in the middle. One was lost and one was saved. And as we read, as the two women shall be grinding on the mill, one shall be taken, the other left. There will be that time when we shall be taken. And one will be left, and there will be it will be a time when we know not. There's the times that we do not know of, and the Lord keeps them secret from his people. He will not tell us what the time of our death may be and what the time of the second coming may be. And this word sets before us, I believe, both. The time of the death of each and every one, and the time of the Lord's second coming. Both very solemn times. Because they concern our soul. They concern eternity. These things of time when we come to take our last breath will be of nothing to us. We might have achieved this or that. We might have attained this or that. But when we come to our end and take that last breath, these things will be nothing. Absolutely nothing. However much money we may have in the bank, however much we might have here, will be nothing. It will be of no saving good to our soul, not a scrap. But dear friends, we each must come to that point. We each must come to the vale of death. We must each come to that river Jordan and put, as it were, our feet within it and go through it. None can escape it. None can escape this hour either. There will be an hour of death for us each. And for some it may be soon, others it may be a long time, but we've each got that hour of death before us. Oh, what is your concern then for your hour of death? Is it that you might look back upon your life and say, well, I've lived a good life, I've enjoyed life? Or will it be, how stands the case, my soul, with thee? How stands my soul? How does it stand for my soul in eternity? Will I be like that thief upon the cross? Will I be able to glory in this man that hath done nothing amiss? Or will I be found like that, the thief on the cross, who died in his sin, died in his hard-heartedness, died in his pride? It's very solemn, but it's a cutting, and there's a fine line, there's a fine line. And as I said before you this morning, there's a fine line of it, or a clear line down each congregation, each family, down through the whole of society. Those that are lost and those that are saved. But dear friends, is it your concern this Lord's Day afternoon to be found among those that are saved? To be found right at last? Is it your concern? Is it your concern that when you come to this hour, that it will be said of you that it was well while life endured and well when called to die? And I believe it was John Newton said, when one came to their end, somebody tried to tell him about how someone had lived, and he said, tell me not how they lived, tell me how they died. Oh, dear friends, but we've all got to come to the point of death. We've all got to come there. We can't escape it. No man can escape it. But we don't know when it will be. And you younger ones, you don't know when it will be. You may feel, well, I'm only young, but yes. And as I said this morning to you, and I will sound it again, the old will die, but the young may die. None is too young to die, and none is too old to be taken either. But there is an appointed time for each one of us. And our breath could be taken in a moment. But dear friends, and it's a solemn thing, but one person of us who is here, this worshipping now, one will be taken first, one will be taken next, and then after death, the judgment. We've each got that judgment before us, that judgment seat to stand before an heart-searching, holy Lord God who abhorreth and cannot look upon sin. And we must make an account of all our sins and all our deeds that the dear thief spoke of this morning. All those shortcomings. But yet, where will we stand? Will we stand with the dying thief? Will we be found sheltering in the dear Saviour's wounded side? Will we be found sheltering under his redeeming blood? Or will we be found cast out and cast into a never-ending eternity in hell, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, and where there will be that lake of fire that continues to burn, where there is filled with smoke, and the devil continually kindling that fire? And no, there will be that weeping and gnashing and wailing, and there's such a din for never-ending eternity, forever and ever. Oh, they will be looking upon the saints, as it were, and seeing, like that one found there that longed to just have a touch of a drop of water from Abraham. Oh, he could see that gulf between the saints in heaven won't look down to hell. No, their eyes are fixed upon the dear Lord Jesus, that lamb slain. That's where their eyes will be found looking. That's where they will be longing and looking for. But dear friends, when we consider then now, where it says, be ye also ready, where are our eyes looking? Are they looking up unto the Lord with that singleness of eye, that we might be found right at last, and be found, as it were, setting our affection on things above, not on things of the earth, and that we might be found with those treasures in heaven, that one, those treasures of the Lord Jesus himself and his dying love? That's where the saints, their eyes are looking. And for them, this coming, second coming of the Lord and this time of their death will be that happy release from this world of sin and woe, this sin-cursed world. They will be longing to be found with their dear Saviour at God's right hand on high, around that throne, looking upon the Lamb, singing his praises. Is that where your desire is? Where is your desire this afternoon? Where is your heart at this time? For dear friends, be not deceived. Those are found in hell. Oh, it's a solemn thought, but as that one that was found there, he looked and he could see Abraham dwelling, as it were, in heaven. And it caused even more grief. But there will be that grief, I believe, in hell, as they look upon those who once they despised, and they see them now in glory, one that they perhaps sneered upon and hated. But they will see them, and it will be their woe unto woe. But dear friends, how stands my case, the case my soul with thee, for heaven? Are thy credentials clear? There's questions in that hymn. I believe it's in the Young People's Hymnal, beautiful little hymn. For heaven are thy credentials clear? Is Jesus' blood thine only plea? Is he thy great forerunner there? That forerunner who hath done nothing amiss? But yet, dear friends, there's a solemn warning. But it's a warning steeped in love and mercy here. For the Lord didn't need to leave this word of warning for his people, did he? No, he'd warned through all scripture. But yet he gives this one solemn warning here. Therefore, be ye also ready, dear friends. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. And the Lord has sent me with this word, and may it be a word for some poor soul. Be ye also ready. And as we see and read of the days of Noah, as they were found there, they didn't believe Noah. They sneered at Noah and would have sneered at him as he built the ark. The Lord had shown him he needed to do it for the saving of souls. And dear friends, as the servants of the Lord, we here are found sounding those solemn warnings like dear Noah. But yet the people did not believe. They did not believe until the floods came. And then, but then it was too late. They were found here below. And as we read through this chapter, oh, it speaks so much of the world now. They were drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, so bound down to the world. And there was the love of many shall wax cold because iniquity shall abound. Many false prophets, people betraying one another, hating one another, nations hating one another, nations being against each other, famines, pestilences, earthquakes, and so on. But until the floods came, the people would not believe. But it was too late. Noah had entered into the ark. The door was shut. And there, the Lord's judgment was upon them. But yet the ark was full of mercy. There was those eight souls saved by grace. Oh, and watched over by the Lord and taken within the ark. And they were safe. But, dear friends, solemnly, the world did not listen. They would not hear. They closed their ears and continued in the old ways and carried on as if the world would never end and as if their lives would never end. But as the flood came quickly, so will our ends. And so will that second coming. We hear and we read of the second coming, don't we? That it will be like a twinkling of an eye. And you know, you children even know how quickly you might notice a little twinkling of an eye. It's instant. But it will come quickly. And what did the Lord say when he spoke of it? He said, behold, I come quickly. He will come quickly. But it will be an hour when we know not. Which is why then, dear friends, the Lord gives us this warning to be found ready, to be found exercised, to be found longing, to be found looking, to be found begging, to be found knocking, to be found ever, as it were. Because if you think, dear friends, when you consider it, and I will put it this simply for you, children, the Lord, in a moment, can take our breath. The Lord, in a moment, can come again the second time. And there will be, as it were, when he comes again that second time, that great trump sounds, and they shall gather together his elect, the elect that are saved. It will be life unto life. And to those that are lost, it will be death unto death. But is it your concern and is it mine to be found among that elect? To be found among those that we read of in the hymn, when thou, my righteous judge, shalt come, shall I among them stand? Shall such a worthless worm as I, who sometimes am afraid to die, be found at thy right hand? When thou, my righteous judge, shall come to take thy ransomed people home. This coming, dear friends, as I said to you children, this coming and the taking, the Lord can take our very breath in a moment when he sees fit. Our life will end. Those that are found among the Lord's people will be prepared. The Lord will have it so. But is it our concern then to be found among those? That the Lord might be preparing us, that we might not be found among those that call for the rocks and the mountains to fall upon us, but that we might be found ready, prepared when he shall come. Because, dear friends, when we consider it, if we knew, like the thief in the night, if we knew the thief was coming, we would be prepared. We'd be ever on our guard. We'd be looking at every sound, every slight thing that appeared, or a light that might come on outside, or a noise within. We'd be straight there, wouldn't we? We'd be prepared. We would not sleep if we knew he was coming at a set time. We'd be found ever ready for his coming. But dear friends, are we? Because you know our souls really that are set before us is this house. A house, as it were. Do we keep our souls like this house? Are we found then ever ready for all the each sounding of the, as it were, the thought of the Lord's coming, that he might come at any moment? Therefore then, how short we come. How sure we come, we can go through a whole day, can't we? Not a thought on the Lord. What if our breath was taken in that day? We can go through an hour and not a thought. We can perhaps go through a few days and little thought upon the Lord. We might read a passage here and say our prayers loosely and as a form. But really and truly, dear friends, are we found ready? Are we a people found ready? We might not, as it were, feel to be ready, but are we ever on our guard? Are we ever, as it were, watching? But then you might say, but I don't feel as though I've got what I feel to need even yet to be found ready. I feel to need to know that I'm one of the Lord's, because I don't even feel like I know anything. But dear friends, the Lord has begun to make you ready. He's begun to cause you to be found here, because he's begun that work then in your soul. If he's given you that aching void, he's given you a desire, then he's begun to be found and making you ready. And you might say, but I don't feel in any way prepared, though. If the Lord were to come, I don't feel ready. But is it your concern to be found ready? Because as I said, In such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. But as I said, to those who are the Lord's people, to those who are found ready, it will be, they will be found longing. They will be found, as it were, longing for the day to be taken. They will be found, as it were, longing for his second coming. But you might say, but I don't feel ready. I don't feel as though, I feel that I am one of the Lord's, but I'm not sure I'm ready for his second coming. I'm not sure I'm ready for my end. But whom once he loves, he never leaves. Oh, if he's begun that work, dear child of God, he will carry it on. And the Lord is making you feel your unreadiness in that he is preparing you. He is making you ready. You may not feel it, but by the assaults perhaps of the devil, by the assaults of your own wicked heart, by the assaults of the world, if you're found, as it were, here, where you can say with the, I believe it is a hymn writer, this world is not my home. Oh, then, dear friend, the Lord has begun to make you ready also. He's begun, and you might say, but I feel as though this world is a thorny wilderness. But if the Lord, oh, has he given you the thorn in your nest to keep you, as it were, uncomfortable here in the world, then I believe he's beginning to make you feel ready. He is making you, he is preparing you, though you may not feel it. But this is a call to be also ready. You might not feel this time to be ready, but the Lord, in his workings, in your soul, in the circumstances in your life, he will prepare his people. He will make them ready. He will not leave his people unprepared. But dear friends, be not slothful. Oh, don't sit back and say, well, the Lord will come whenever he comes. And if I'm one of the Lord's, then it will all be all right with me. No, that's that, dear friends, is like that one found. And had I had time, I'd love to have read that chapter through. But in the 12th chapter of Luke, we find that one, don't we, with the barns. And what did he say? The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. He had everything here below, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I'll pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. He was only concerned with the things of time. He was only concerned with what he got here below. But, oh, dear friends, if in this life only ye have hope in Christ, then are ye of all men most miserable. Oh, have you got hope beyond the grave? But, dear friends, this man didn't, and he said, this will I do. I read that, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall these those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich toward God. But dear friends, as the Lord Jesus said to that one, thou fool, this night thy soul is required of thee. Oh, dear friend, how stands the case, my soul, with thee, if this night thy soul is required of thee? You only know the answer. It's between you and God. What if your soul is required of you tonight? Are you ready? Are you prepared? Because, dear friend, when we consider it even here below, when we go on a journey, we make sure we're ready, don't we? And when we consider even, we make sure we're ready and prepared. But dear friends, when we consider it, there's one step between us and eternity. But are we ready and are we prepared for eternity? Because I can't, I can't stress it as it were anymore, but we've each got a never-ending eternity before us. We've each got to stand before the judgment seat of the Lord. We've each got to make an account. And will we hear, as we spoke of this morning, those words spoken unto the Lord's own people, come in, thou blessed of the Lord? Or will we hear that solemn declaration, depart from me, I never knew you? And as we see in the book, Pilgrim's Progress, ignorance. And I often have to refer to this man. He came all the way. He went through the River Jordan. I believe he made himself a boat, and he got to the gates of heaven. He got that far, and he was, as that one spoke to Paul, thou madest me almost a Christian. But there's no good in being an almost Christian. No good. There's nothing saving in an almost Christian. No. But dear friends, he came to the gates of heaven, and he saw there that there's an entrance to heaven, an entrance to hell at the gate of heaven. What a solemn consideration. He went all through his life, right up to the gates of heaven, and he was told, depart from me, I never knew you, and depart into hell. And he was sent from there, from the gates of heaven, into the entrance of hell. Very solemn, but he was an almost Christian. But an almost Christian is not saving. Oh no. But it's this being made ready. But how are the Lord's people made ready? They're made ready by the Lord. They are brought low. The Lord does the work. There is nothing that the child of God can do in and of themselves. But, dear friend, are we concerned? Is it our concern this Lord's Day, how it stands with us? And how it will stand, even if our life is taken before the second coming. But how stands the case in the second coming? Will we be found like those, the dead in Christ shall rise first? Will we be found among them? Or will we be found those remain in the grave and be taken down into hell? But then, will we be found like those taken up into heaven to meet the Lord in the air? Then when he comes as that judge, that great judge upon the earth, he came to die for our sins or his people's sins. He rose again in judgment for our justice. And therefore, dear friends, now he comes and will come again, and there will be that second coming. There will be when there is that judgment upon the earth and those that are still remaining here on the earth. They will either see it as a joy when they see the Lord appearing, or they will fear and quake and tremble. There's the two ways. But be ye therefore be ye also ready. Oh, dear child of God, as I said this morning, oh, don't consider and leave it, as it were, like the dying thief. Don't rely on a deathbed religion. No, because we don't know whether we'll have a deathbed. We don't know whether we'll be taken in an instant. We may breathe our last in a moment when we least consider it. And we may not have a deathbed. But there might be those that have long illnesses and have that time. But they might, even then, you might say, well, if I had a long illness, it would give me time to think. But your mind might be taken. Your mind might be so pained with your body that you can't even consider your end. But dear friends, consider your end. Oh, dear friends, because we've each got to come to it. Consider your end. For ye know not what a day nor an hour may bring forth. Therefore, oh, there's that, therefore, be ye also ready. Oh, but you say, but I can't give this to myself. No, but is it a concern? No, the Lord does the work. The Lord will, by his Spirit, brings that newness of life, that opening of our hearts, that breaking of our hard hearts. But dear friends, may the Lord use this by his Spirit to break your hard heart. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour you know not, no, neither do I, as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. May the Lord add his blessing. Amen. We will conclude our service this afternoon by singing hymn number 698 to the tune Dismissal 671. Hymn number 698 to the tune Dismissal 671. Pause, my soul, and ask the question, art thou ready to meet God? Am I made a real Christian, washed in the Redeemer's blood? Have I union to the church's living head? Hymn number 698. O Lord, do pardon anything, Lord, that we may have spoken amiss. O Lord, do not, if we have confused, Lord, or as it were, Lord, cause fear to the people, but Lord, do pardon anything that thy pure and holy eyes have seen amiss, and do make up, Lord, where we may have failed, Lord, in speaking, Lord, of thy coming, Lord, in our ends, or in thy second coming, but Lord, that we might be found prepared, that we might be found ready, Lord, when thou wilt come, and Lord, that we might be, O found resting in thy sheltering, in thy wounded side, and that we might not be a stranger to thee or thy dying blood, and that, Lord, that we might be found like that householder, Lord, each day, each moment, prepared, Lord, and ready. Lord, as thou hast said, thou wilt come in as a thief in the night. And, O Lord, as the householder in our day now seeks to fence his house about, lock the doors and close the windows, Lord, when we are in it at night, Lord, do then, Lord, O do help us to be found prepared. O Lord, we beg, make up in giving then, Lord, where we have failed. And Lord, do and now, Lord, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Ghost rest and abide with us each, Lord, both now and forevermore. Amen.